Thank y'all for coming out on this rainy Sunday. Doesn't really affect our salvation, does it? Amen. Okay, take a look at this. Y'all might have seen this when you were in Sunday school. Many of you guys remember that. Did y'all have that in Sunday school? No? Well, me either. So that's why I played it. But I wanted to just kind of introduce all of that video, because I'm making a reference to the song that Philip P. Bless wrote in 1873. And I thought, well, I don't even know what it is. And I've been in Sunday school since I was about Quinn's age, literally. So, you know, if I don't know, possibly y'all don't know. So I wanted to play it for you. But think about this for a minute. I am going to be speaking on Daniel. If you hadn't figured it out by now, that's what we're going to be talking about. Randy was talking about Wednesday, about being captive and how God was with him through his captivity. Well, there was another man in the Bible, and his name is Daniel. And Daniel also was held in captivity. So I don't know why God's got us on this, but he does. So we're just going to keep in the flow of what God is telling us. And in part two of the series, God is on Your Side, it is titled, God Will Empower You. Now, there's a lot of teaching here, and I tell you what, I've got 8 pages of notes, and I probably could have 20 pages of notes, because I'm really full of information. I spoke to Mike this morning, and I said, honey, have you ever prepared a message, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger? He said, every Sunday. So I guess I'm doing something right, but I don't know which way I'm going to go yet. I just know there's a lot of information here. But the first thing I want to do is make a reference to this Dare to Be a Daniel song. And I don't know about you, but I think it's pretty substantial if there's a song been written about you. What if that said Dare to Be June, or Dare to Be, you know, a David, Dare to Be an Anita, or Dare to Be a Melissa? What if they had a song that children sing every day in Sunday school about Dare to Be a Judy? Amen? I mean, think about it. So your life has been led so well that others reflect in it. That's pretty much what it is. And back to what it says, Dare to Be a Daniel, or you could say Dare, let's use Ernestina. Dare to be an Ernestina, okay? Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Okay, now think about that for a minute. So here we have one of the greatest men in the Bible who's named Daniel, and he stood for God no matter what. I wonder how many people here will stand for God no matter what. And you know, there's one thing to stand for God, but it's another thing to stand for God no matter what. No matter what Daniel found himself in, no matter what the world threw at him, he still stood for God. Now guys, if you don't remember, we'll get to the scripture in just a moment, but Daniel was held in captivity for 70 years. Say 70. Okay? So, but during his captivity, God favored him so much. And the reason God favored him and the reason God blessed him is because he looked to God every single day, even during his captivity. He was raised since birth on in the Israelite way. He was taught the things of God. He had a name that stood for God. The guy had it going on since early youth. And because of that, he became a target for Nebuchadnezzar. So let's keep going. We will be coming out of Daniel 1, 3, and 7. And I want you guys to really understand Daniel today, because if we look at him and look at his life, it can be an example to our own. And we can reflect on how he stood no matter what. And when the enemy comes, and he will, and when the battles come, and they will, we will be able to apply the same exact type of things that Daniel applied. So if you're taking notes, this is a good place to write. Number one, be prepared for a battle. Okay, now you may not like that today, but I'm going to tell you, if you're a Christian, you're going to be in a battle. And if you're an on-fire Christian, you're always going to be in a battle. Come on, somebody, say amen. I mean, the devil is not going to sit back and let you work in God's kingdom and not offer some kind of opposition. He's not going to do that. He's got more sense than that. So we might as well get prepared in a battle, because you're going to go through some stuff. Okay, so if you got a neighbor, look over at them and say, you're going to go through some stuff. Because God guys, I'm here to tell you, you will. Okay, and it's normal. So if you think you're in a battle and you're not living your life right, well, I'm here to tell you, maybe you're in a battle because you are living your life right. Okay, so during the time our story takes place, let me just lay a little bit of foundation. You might think we're a little bit in Bible college today, but that's okay. But the story takes place in Jerusalem. King Nebuchadnezzar is in Babylon, and he just defeated Jerusalem in battle. Okay, so Nebuchadnezzar, he took with him some sacred objects from God's temple. So he goes in to take all the objects out of the temple, and he takes them back to his temple of the pagan gods. But the thing is, he didn't just take objects, he took some young men. And the reason he took these young men is because they were very much favored. He was afraid that if he didn't take these young men, that there would be some opposition later on down the road, because not only were they good looking, not only were they smart, but he knew that if he didn't go ahead and capture them right now, that they may be some opposition down the road and he might have to fight them in battle. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So like Daniel, we also need to be prepared for every attack that our enemy brings at us. See, sometimes God puts me in an unchangeable situation so that he can do something undeniable. Did you hear that? If you like good quotes, that's a good one, okay? Sometimes God puts me in an unchangeable situation so that he can do something undeniable. All right? So let's go ahead and read it. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, the chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of nobility, youths without blemish. Y'all see that? Of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among them were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. And that's in Daniel 1, 3, and 7. Now, the reason he changed their names is they had godly names. He had to start breaking them down first by their name. He's clearing out everything that they've been taught, and now he's giving them a new name. Well, Daniel's name, which means God is my judge, is now called Belteshazzar, and Bel is what? A god. And it was the pagan god that they served. So what they did is Nebuchadnezzar changed their names and gave them pagan names in order to start breaking them down. So if you pay close attention to Nebuchadnezzar's tactics, what you'll find out and what you'll notice is very, very similar to the cultic groups today. No matter what kind of demonic cultic group, or not even so much demonic, just the forces that the enemy has, well, he will use the same exact idea. Okay? So let's look at it. Number one is isolation. The first thing the enemy will do is isolate you. He will pull you away from your church. He will pull you away from your godly friends. He will place you with ungodly friends. He will put you in a situation to where you don't even want to be at church. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? So here it is. He takes them and he separates these young men from their family and from their friends. Okay, so when we are in a group that we are unfamiliar with, especially one that holds different values than we do, it's much easier to compromise. It's much easier to break down because you become what you hang with. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if you're not hanging around Christians, it's easy to become like what you are hanging around with. Okay, in other words, the whole idea of the enemy is to compromise your beliefs. And the first thing that he's going to do is he's going to isolate you. Okay? All right, so that was Nebuchadnezzar's idea here. He knew the chances of changing these young hearts would be much greater if he only could take them away from everyone they knew. All right, so go with me to Daniel 1 and 4, and it says, youths without blemish, of good appearance, skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach in the literature and language of the Chaldeans. Okay, we already read that, but I want to point out, he knew that these young men were taught in the way of the Babylonians rather than... If he taught them in the way of the Babylonians rather than the way of God, then he could create in them a different language, and he would get them to read different literature than they've ever been exposed to. Then this is what the exact attack now that Nebuchadnezzar had to wean them away from their past. Okay, so if you decide not to honor God in the light of the day, your faith will never hold up in the dark of night. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay, if you decide not to honor God in the light of your day, your faith is never going to hold up in the dark of night. So maybe that's why when you need God, he's not answering. Come on, somebody. All right? So the first thing was isolation. The second thing was indoctrination. The third thing is compromise. Now let's talk about compromise a minute. So the king, he gave them food and wine, which was forbidden, okay? They were from Israel, guys. They were not supposed to have this type of king's food, okay? So Israel had given them very strict dietary codes, okay? And to compromise that code, it would cause them to give in. So Nebuchadnezzar knew that, you know, he could just start feeding them something different. He's already changed their name. Now he's going to get them to eating something different, okay? It's just little by little tearing away, and that's how the enemy works on us. He gets us to compromise our beliefs, okay? He might tell you, oh, it's just a little wine, or oh, it's just a little weed, or oh, it's just a little of this, or it's a little of that. Come on, Judy looked at me funny. All right? But it's true, guys. That's what the enemy will tell you. Okay, that it's okay to drink a little bit of wine, and before you know it, you're out having alcoholic drinks because you've already opened the door, or you're smoking a little weed, and you think, well, I need it because it makes me get calmed down. How about the Holy Spirit getting you calmed down? Amen. We need to be filled full of God, not full of weed. Come on, somebody. Say, but Daniel. But Daniel refused to compromise his conviction regardless of the cost that he had to pay for them. Now imagine being held captive in a place where you have no reign, no rule, and they've already changed your godly name to something of the devil. And here you are now, they're feeding you something that you've been taught since birth that you wasn't supposed to have. Come on. So the next thing the enemy does is for confusion. The king took away their identity by changing their names to pagan ones. He changed Daniel's name to Belshazzar. Can you imagine having your name changed to something that would be so offensive to God? Think about that. You hear what I'm saying? Take away the young men's holy birth-given names and change them to pagan ones, okay? So what he was trying to do is confuse their identity. Come on, how many of you know the devil is trying to confuse your identity? That's all he's wanting to do. If you say you live for God, he's wanting to make sure that you don't live for God. Because people don't care what you say. They care about how you act. They look at your life. They want to see what you're saying, see what you're doing, not hear what you're saying. Come on, somebody. You know, people speak with forked tongues. They know the word. They speak the word, but they live a life outside of that. Amen? I'm here to tell you that Christians look like Christ. They should look like Christ. They should act like Christ. They should be loyal. They should be full of grace and full of mercy and not backbiting, not talking about people. Come on, somebody. This ain't even in my notes, but I'm going to flow with the Holy Spirit. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is what we need. Christians who are full of integrity. Where did integrity go? My goodness. Where did integrity go? I'm going to tell you, people are not going to come to a church where there's no love. They're not going to come to a church where there's no integrity. Okay? That means you don't lie. They're not going to come to a church where there's not forgiveness or where there's not mercy. And guys, if we're not going to do what God has called us to do, we might as well shut the doors. Come on. I know it may get tight for a minute. Okay? So let me get back to Daniel. The fourth thing he's going to do is cause confusion. Okay? All right? So I can't imagine that any of us in this day and age would have the same type of attack as Daniel. I really can't imagine that. However, it does happen. Okay? There's people kidnapped a lot. Okay? They really are. Okay, you may not know it, you may not realize it, but they are. I was watching a movie last night. It was really, really good. I wasn't expecting it to be good. And it was called, Personalities. Split. It was called Split, that's right. And it was about this guy. He was plumb pitiful. He was totally taken over by the enemy. He had 23, soon to be 24 personalities. And he operated out of all 24 of those personalities. And it gave him, even the 24th personality gave him unbelievable abilities. You just have to watch the movie. But when you watch that, I thought, my goodness, the way he kidnapped these three girls and what he did to them is exactly what the enemy does. He isolated them first. Okay, he got them away from the others, and then he started breaking them down. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? You can manipulate somebody if they get hungry enough. Are you hearing me? Don't feed somebody, and they get weak. And when they get weak, they'll give in. That's kind of what was going on here with Daniel. They were trying to break him down, Nebuchadnezzar was, but the thing is, he always stuck to his convictions. Daniel was an awesome man of God. He never moved. He stayed with what he was taught. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine having that kind of pressure on you and you still stand for God? Absolutely, I can. Absolutely, I can. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your battle is, you can still stand for God and you can still stand hold of the truths of God. Come on, are you hearing me? Stick with your convictions. Faith is a habit, it's not an act. Think about that. Faith is a habit, it's not an act. Or how about this? Faith is not an act, it's a habit. Are you hearing me? So the time to make up your mind and to avoid compromise is before the battle ever takes place. Come on, like I said, if there's no God in your day, there may not be no God in your night. So when you get to that place and when the battle shows up and it shows up strong, you might buckle unless you've been tested and tried by God. Come on, are you hearing me? You're standing and you're sticking with your convictions. And as we see, Daniel was ready for this attack. He decided that he would stick to his convictions no matter what. Come on, our prayer to God today should be that we too would have the faith to stick with God no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in. All right, so let's go to Daniel 1, 8 through 17, and I'm going to read real fast just for sake of time because I got a lot on my heart. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who assigned you food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youth of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Then Daniel said to the steward, who the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in the flesh than all the youths that ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine that they were to drink. Okay, and gave them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Somebody say amazing. So Daniel models the following character traits for all of us who are under pressure and in temptation. No way for Daniel to know that Christians all over the world would mimic his 21-day fast. Come on, are you hearing me? Christians all over the world at the beginning of the year mimic this, okay? But at this time, Daniel didn't have a clue. Only thing that Daniel knew is his God, and he knew that he wanted to follow God no matter what. So how can you and I model our lives like this? How can we stand and be such a determined man of God like Daniel when we and be highly favored of God? How can we be like that? How can we not buckle in the battle? How can we prove to the world that we are the platform for Jesus to work on? How can we be so excited about where we're at in the battle? Come on, somebody. I'm going to tell you. The first thing you have to do is make a decision. That's the first thing. So number one would be decisiveness. You have to make your mind up. You have to make a decision. The text tells us Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself. He made his mind up. We need to make our mind up. No matter what comes our way, we're still going to stand for God. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. It doesn't matter how hungry we are. It doesn't matter how broke I am. It does not matter. All that matters is I've got a God, and He's still on the throne, and He's making intercessions for us. And He said that if I would go boldly to the throne, that He would answer our prayers. And if we believe that, and we stand on that, God will prevail. Amen. That's God. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that you serve. And if you'll stand and make up your mind, God will work for you. So I've got to decide here. You know, the thing about Daniel is we've always said, oh, we know Daniel. We learned about him when we was in Sunday school. We learned that Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. My goodness, that was the small part of Daniel. The 70 years before that is what people need to be taught. That's what I'm teaching you today. The 70 years before, when he was kept in Babylon, the captivity period, the time he trusted in God when all hell was coming at him. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He was thrown into a lion's den. That was the easy part, because there is nothing that a man in here could do or on the face of this earth could do if you were thrown into angry lion's dens. They're going to eat you up, baby. They're going to devour you like you was chocolate cake. Okay? That's what they're going to do. But he had already had an experience with God, and he knew that no matter what, his God would work for him. Come on, somebody. He knew that because he'd been in captivity for 70 years. He knew that God was with him. He knew that it didn't matter whether it was Nebuchadnezzar, the enemy, or if it was the enemy of the lion. It need not matter. God would still work. How many of you know God is still working for you today? Come on. Say no to temptation before it ever takes place. Preparation is the most important thing you can do for a battle. When we can decide right here and now that we will never compromise the things of God, it's a personal conviction. It is. It's a personal conviction, but it's one you got to make. It's found deep within. It's not anything I can tell you to do. I can't tell you you got to get sold out for God. All I can tell you is that if you do get sold out for God, He will pull you through every single thing, every battle that you'll go through. He will go before you, and you will go before men, and you'll not fear men. You won't fear what people do to you or say about you. You just really won't give a rip. But I tell you one thing that I know for sure. There is a God who sees all things, and He said He will repay, and He will shut the mouth of the lion. He'll shut the mouths that's talking about you. God is God all by Himself, and He don't need my help. All He needs is for me to trust Him, me to believe in Him, and me to stand for Him and be that platform that He needs me to be. God, I'm spitting all over the place. Oh, Lord, I told you I'm full. This is good word. If we'll only apply it. Come on, are you hearing me? We can decide right here and now, guys. We can. It's got to be a heart change. It cannot be a mind change. Are you hearing me? You can make your mind up today that you're going to do that. You can say, oh, you know what, June, that was a great message. I'm going to be just like that. You can make your mind up. But if you never have the heart change, you'll walk out that door, enemy will hit you in the face, and you won't stand. Come on. Because we're too proud to go and pray at the altar, or because we're too proud to ask God again because we've already asked God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on. See, it's got to be a heart change. Okay? We change our minds like we change our underwear. Come on. I change mine all the time. I don't know about you. That's the way our minds change. But our heart won't change. Come on. Our heart is established on the Word of God. And it says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, people are telling on themselves every day when they start talking. They really are. They don't even realize it. Daniel was taken to Babylon as a young man, likely before he had finished puberty. Okay? So let's say he was between 10 and 18 years of age. And he was held in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, and which put Daniel now in the age of about 80 years old, okay? And we know that because at the beginning of Darius's reign in Daniel 6. So this is when the whole lion's den thing shows up after the 70-year reign. So in this case, I think we need to update some of our portraits where we've got Daniel as a young lad. Because Daniel was about 80 years old, maybe 90, depending on where he started. I know he was a youth, but somewhere between 10 and 18 years of old age. So that puts him at about 80 or 90 years old, guys. So these paintings of a young Daniel would not be correct, would they? Okay, so number two. First one was make a decision. Number two is the way that we model ourselves like Daniel is what I'm talking about. Number two is boldness. Daniel was so confident that following God's way is the best way that he laid down a challenge. Listen to what it is in 1 and 12. Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Okay? So he didn't succumb to what Nebuchadnezzar wanted, the king's food. He said, let me eat this for 10 days, and if I'm not fatter than the others, if I'm not a better appearance than yours, then, but there was no then, because he knew that his God would deliver. He was bold enough, guys, to stand up. You know, we've got to be bold enough to stand up. Now, let's just bring this on down to your time, where you're at, okay, your situations. I don't care where you, but you've got to stand for your faith. I don't care on your job. Your boss may say you can't talk about God. Well, if you don't bring God in your job, God's not going to promote you. Come on, did you hear what I'm saying? God is in control, not your boss. You got to be bold enough. You got to be bold enough. Have the faith. I've always said nothing is good is a good old tried and true. And that's the truth. You have come through a storm. And because of your storms, you know that God will deliver you. You know that God is with you. You believe in your heart. You know the word because you've gone through some stuff. And God didn't let you down. Okay? And it takes boldness, guys. You've got to have boldness. Okay? All right, so you could be 12 years old and you want to fit in with your friends, okay? But listen, don't compromise. You might be 30 years old and want to fit in with your friends. Don't compromise. Guys, set the standard. Be the forerunner. Be the one that says, I live for God, and I'm going to keep the ways of God, whether you do or not. And I'm going to just leave you in the smoke because God is God. Amen? And I'm going to serve Him. Because, you know, guys, I believe there's people that compromise. I believe they're like chameleons. They become what they hang with. Y'all ever know people like that? I can't stand a double standard person. They won't stand. They need to stand for God. Hot or cold, lukewarm, I'll spew you out, the Bible said. Think about that. You know, I love all people, and I probably shouldn't have said it that way. I do love all people, but I can't stand their ways. I don't like to see people become who they hang with. Okay, so if they're out in the crowd and they're worldly, they won't mention God. They'll just become like them. Do you hear what I'm saying? So let me just give you that example, and it might make a little bit of sense. Okay, so be bold. Stand on what you believe. And Daniel is the best example I can think of standing on what he believed. He knew that if the diet of vegetables and water didn't allow, he knew if he could get that in there and stand on what he had believed and what he had been taught was right, that his God would prevail for him and show them. And he did. And he did. But if he knew also that he had to do something, because if he didn't bow down to their ways, that it could mean death. Come on, how many of us are willing to stand if it can mean death? I mean, we've got to stand no matter what. The behavior is against God's will for my life, so I will not engage in it no matter what the consequences. That's what we have to be willing to say. You know, that's not good for me. Those friends are not good for me. That job is not good for me. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? Daniel 1:13. Somebody read that. I need some water. Then let our parents and the parents of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So somewhere along the line, Daniel's learned that he can trust God. Would you say that? Okay, he fully expects God to see him and his friends through every bit of this. I believe some of you have learned to trust God this very same way. And just think about what you can accomplish in the kingdom of God if you'll not bend, if you'll not waver, if you'll stand no matter what. Christians should be on the move. They should. And I mean for God's kingdom. Thinking about what is the least amount of time that I can spend in church is not being on the move. Did you hear what I'm saying? I believe some Christians have actually moved into a one day a week God. Sunday only. Okay? I believe that. I believe they're just a one day a week God. I will tell you that right now it won't be long, and Sunday will be just too much time. If that's the way you feel. Because the enemy slowly tears you away. Where we was going to church on Wednesday, we was going to church, we drop off on Wednesday, and then we're just down to Sunday. And then Sunday becomes too much of a hassle. And so Sunday is just too much to go. So you go every other Sunday or every third Sunday, and before you know it, there's people that don't even go to church. Come on, I don't get that. It's got to be a discipline. Church has to be a discipline. You go no matter what. The Bible says to keep the Sabbath holy. There's a Sabbath day we need to go to. And I said Wednesday night. I believe it was Wednesday night. Yeah, it was. Wednesday night that, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I have to be refueled by Wednesday. I needed to hear what Randy had to say Wednesday night. God had a special word for us to hear. And we don't even take the time to come and listen to it. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? Excuses, excuses. There's always an excuse that we try to make up why we can't go to church on Wednesday or we can't go to church on Sunday. But what we really need to be doing is saying, how can I help my church more? How can I get there more and offer more of my time? Come on, that's what we're looking for. Christians on the move. Come on. I know it's hard, but it works. So reevaluate where you are. Okay, the number one excuse I hear is I don't have time. So I thought about that, okay? And I thought about when you start a diet, the first thing you want to do is write everything down you eat, okay? But that's the first thing they'll tell you to do, keep a diary of your food. Because why? People eat more than they realize. I mean, you just graze. You know I do. I'll graze and not think about it. You know, I start and before I know it, I've had five, and I really only should have had one. Okay? So that's the way it works. So once you make an account of what you've eaten, you'll realize that, oh, now I see why I've eaten more than what I thought. Well, let me get off of that and let's get on to time. Do this with your time. Make a diary of your time. Everybody's given 24 hours. Is that right? You've got 24 hours in a day. Write down what you do for just one day. If I can't get you to do two or three, write down what you do in a day. So we already know that 7 or 8 hours, generally speaking, is sleep. Okay? And then that leaves 8 hours for work, usually, an hour to drive. So once you calculate 8 for sleep, 8 for work, 1 hour for drive, 7 hours is pretty much what you're looking at. Okay, so let's evaluate the 7 hours that's left. The 7 hours is what we need to analyze. Think about it. Because the enemy is not going to work in your sleep too much. And he's not going to work too much in your job because you're so disciplined. You're going to get there. But where he's going to work is in your 7 hours. So what do you do in that 7 hours? What are you doing in the 7 hours? Okay. Are you busy? I call it busy stuff. You know, the busy stuff. Maybe Facebook and Instagram an hour. Before you know it, if you get on Facebook, you can just be in that for an hour before you even realize it. Just goes just like that. Or maybe it's a nap. Maybe you take a nap for an hour. Maybe you go to the gym for an hour. And guys, I'm not preaching against any of it. Yeah, you do all that. I don't care. It's fine. But my point to the matter is, put God first. God's time has to be put first. Are we praying? Are we taking time to meditate on His Word? Do we have time to go to church on Wednesday? It's just only an hour. I mean, come on, guys. We can't give God that. Come on, that's all I'm saying. God first. God, put God first. Okay, and then He'll add all things, right? Because if we'll get disciplined, things will turn around in your life. Works, really does. Trust in God's powers, number three. Augustine said, God judged it better to bring good out of evil than not to permit any evil to exist. Has anybody ever asked you, why does God allow evil? I mean, I get that all the time, okay? It's probably one of the most pertinent questions. I don't understand why God lets bad things happen to good people. You know, okay, there's evil in this world. And many times we're confronted with it just like Daniel. But if we trust God and we're confronted with it, we give Him the chance to use His power for His own glory as well as our own good. So let's look at it in 17 to 21. As these four youths, God gave them learning and skills in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king in every manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Did y'all hear that? So Daniel's trust paid off, didn't it? He was 10 times better than the magician. Now, you see, they were looking for answers. The world is looking for answers. And if we'll place our trust in God, God will fill you with gifts, visions, interpretations of dreams. He will give you things, a word of knowledge that you can use to help people, just like He did Daniel here. Why did He give it to Daniel? Because he was a vessel that he could use. He's not going to put his gifts in somebody that isn't going to do anything. Come on, are you hearing me? So Daniel's trust in God paid off. He wasn't, although Daniel wasn't looking for a payoff, he really wasn't. The fact is that God will come through for those who are prepared for battle. Did you hear me? He will come through for those who stick with their convictions. He will come through for those who trust in His power. He will. Know this, God's provision are a result of our faithfulness. Y'all hear that? God's provision is a result of our faithfulness. Okay? So God blesses these young men as a result of their faithfulness to Him. Psalms 31 and 23 says, the Lord preserves the faithful, but repays the one who acts in pride. Come on, that's not June. This is the Bible. Isn't it good? So God will give you exactly what you need for the battle. Notice that these young men are not freed from captivity. You know, you would think that, well, why didn't God just free them? That's what we think we should get. See, we're looking for answers to our prayers, and we're not looking for the right answers. Because it may not come the way you think it will. Daniel might have thought that God would deliver him, but God delivered him, but He delivered him while he was captive. Now, isn't that an interesting concept? Okay? They never got free of the king's reign. 70 years, guys. That's your whole life, pretty much. But because of the Lord's blessing, they had been given the very thing that the king was looking for. And because of that, they were given places of honor. You see that? Now that's called blessed. Blessed in the mess. Let's say that. They were blessed in the mess. How many of you need to be blessed in the mess? Come on. We got to stand faithful. God provides for those who are faithful. He might not always get us out of every mess we find ourselves in, but He will bless us in the mess. He will, and He'll get us through it. But sometimes, guys, it isn't what we think we're going to get provided for. The answer that you're looking for may look a little different. But we got to look past the provision that God has made for us and expect God to deliver us, okay? Look for the blessing in the mess. It's like Mike. You know, when I talked to his doctor, he came in. And for those of you that don't know, I know we're live, so let me just recoup. I have to make sure. I know not everybody might know. And that is that he had to have a surgery. And, you know, that tumor that needed to be removed, you know, we can expect God for miraculous healings, and He does that from time to time. But how many of you know sometimes He works through a doctor? Nowadays, through a robot. Come on, are you hearing me? I mean, the Da Vinci system is a wonderful enablement that physicians have. But his doctor came in and told me that that was a textbook surgery. It was easy. And I already told you about the vision I had that when Dr. Patel took his hands out of the arms of that Da Vinci system, that it was still operating. That was the hand of God. I'm here to tell you that we look for one thing, but we get the other, but the result is still the same. Do you hear what I'm saying? God still will deliver you. He will deliver you if you trust in Him. We've got to trust God and He and be faithful to Him, and He will repay you well and bless you well in your circumstances, but we have to trust God. Come on. So number two, our faith today prepares us for promotion tomorrow. Your faith today determines where you'll be tomorrow. Okay? So if we're not believing God today, tomorrow's not going to look so great. Okay? So our faith today prepares us for promotion tomorrow. The faith of Daniel allowed him to rise to the top in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. That's a long way from where he started. Not only is there a reward when Daniel would cross into that wonderful place called heaven, there's a reward for us when we go to heaven. But how many of you know that we got to live on this side? And the Bible says to work while it's day. Okay? He didn't mean it's your job 80 hours a week. He meant the harvest. There is a harvest that's ready, and there's few that's reaping the harvest. What is the harvest? That's God's people, the lost, who needs a church that'll stand up and be the church that God died for. The one that'll stand up and say, I'll go. I'll be the Daniel. I'll stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'll wait on my provision. For God will allow those giftings to come my way to enable me to be the person I need to be. Come on. God is, He will reward us on this side as well as the other side. So let me give you a so what. And that's this. If you go through things, and you will, it does not mean God has forgotten you. It means that God is with you. God is for you, and He will bless you. But you got to start analyzing your today. Analyze your time. Okay? Where's the blessing in the mess? See, sometimes we have to look for it. We have to look for it because we're expecting it to be blue and it might be green. Come on. We have to look for it. If there is a servant of the Most High God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, We need to serve him, and we know without a doubt that he sits on the right hand of God making intercession. Our king is not our job. Our king is not our friends. We don't serve King Stomach. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that lesson on King Stomach? The fast? Maybe not. Maybe you do. Is King Stomach. Well, anyway, we got to trust God. And when we do, we'll have significant results. But if we don't trust God, we'll have significant ramifications. Okay? Whether we see it right now or not, it's beside the point. It really is. God will come through for us every single time. But we have to start believing. We have to believe for a miracle today. Believe today and we'll have the miracle tomorrow, so to speak. Okay? So this is I'm going to tie it up with this quote right here. F.B. Meyer. He said, "We ought to be Christians in large type, so that it would not be necessary for others to be long in our society or to regard us through spectacles in order to detect our true discipleship. The message of our lives should resemble the big advertisements, which can be read on the street boardings by all who pass by." I tell you what, I love that. If I've ever read a quote of truth, it's that. We can be like Daniel. You can be a Daniel today. You can be a Daniel in your tomorrow. But in order to be a Daniel, you have to stand firm. And you have to stand for God. And you have to do what's right. And you have to shun what's wrong. Don't be a chameleon when you're around other people. You be what God has called you to be. And you know what? God will give you the blessings. He'll bless you in the mess. You'll come out smelling like a rose, no matter how bad the stench of the mess is. You will come out, and all others may not if they're not trusting in God. So are you walking as a signboard for your Christian faith today? Are you guys? When push comes to shove, are you going to stand up for Jesus Christ no matter what? And today, will you dare to be a Daniel? Will you dare to be a Daniel like that song we started with? Will you dare to be a Daniel and place it all in the hands of God? Guys, it's your decision.